I Never Shut Up Anyway is a podcast about music, art, love, creativity, entrepreneurship, and everything else that I find interesting in the Egyptian scene. There are a few dashes of foreigners here and there. I'll be inviting on some of my favorite creators to speak about their art, their music, their poetry, their writing, whatever they do, and to shed some light on some social topics that I think need to seriously be discussed in our society. Now, let me be honest with you. I'm quite the quitter. I've tried out all the instruments, I've played a handful of sports during my lifetime, and there is nothing that I've stuck to. I can't help it, it's just who I am as a person. I'll do things obsessively for a certain period of time, and then I'll get bored out of nowhere, and I will just drop them for no reason. I'm either reading 2 books a week, or I haven't touched a book in 2 months. I'm either playing guitar intensely all the time, or I can't remember the last time I touched it. And it's just who I am. I get bored of things easily. And it's always been a really bad thing, because when you tend to do things and then, you know, drop them and then do them again and then drop them and then do them again, it's quite a bad cycle if you're trying to achieve, well, anything in your life. But I don't have to achieve anything in my life right now. We are in a time of quarantine. We are trapped in our houses. We're not going anywhere. We haven't gone anywhere for 3 months, and we're not going anywhere anytime soon. And so my obsessive personality is honestly my best asset right now. I've repainted my entire balcony, picked up cooking, started a garden, picked up guitar and dropped it and picked it up, started my novel, didn't finish it, moved the treadmill from my mom's room outside. I try to take a walk on it every day, but I don't always feel like it, which we've already discussed. And now I have a podcast, which is pretty wicked. Let me tell you, I'm having the time of my life with it. So if I'm being honest, I'm keeping myself pretty entertained right now. There's never a dull moment with me and my obsessions. One of which, recently, is my next guest's specialty. Kaylin Conlon is a poet who dedicates a good amount of her time to making poetry prompts that haven't been done before, because she thinks that a lot of the ones that are found on the internet are pretty basic. And I can't help but agree with her. Stay tuned to hear my interview with Kaylin right after the break. Kaylin! Hello! Okay, how are you?
Hi! Great. How are you?
I'm okay. I've been better. I've been worse.
Yeah, it's a weird time right now, so that's understandable.
How are you holding up through all of this?
Oh yeah, I'm very lucky in the sense that I am quarantined with someone and I'm in a space that isn't too, you know, hectic or no cities or anything like that. I'm kind of in a smaller area. So I've just kind of been trying to focus on my writing and reading a lot of the books that I have sitting in my office waiting to be read, and just trying to focus on things that are not, you know, the outside world right now.
Oh yeah, it is very stressful just kind of looking at the news. I try not to check because the numbers just keep going up, and it's very overwhelming in a sense, I think.
I was just going to say, like you were saying, it's so overwhelming looking at all of the numbers, even just for, you know, countries alone, like looking at the individuals and then as a whole, it's just unreal.
Yeah, exactly. But I hope that you're staying safe, and I know that you're staying inside from your Instagram. But okay, let's just dive into it. I wanted to talk to you about a topic. I wanted to put just like a topic in our heads to go with, and that would be creativity, because you're amazing with that. For National Poetry Month, you did 30 prompts, a prompt a day, for your followers to write poems from, and they were just phenomenal. They were so inspiring. I personally used them. I wrote 30 poems. I didn't post all of them, but most of them were from your prompts, and I loved them so much because they were just so rich. How do you come up with them? Where do they come from?
So as far as coming up with prompts, I found, you know, when I first started writing, that a lot of the prompts that I found when I did a quick Google search were all very similar, sort of like use flower as a metaphor, or, you know, kind of some standard poem sort of prompts, which are good and are worthwhile prompts. But after you do them a few times, it's hard, at least for me, to kind of think of something new to add to it. So what I try to do with prompts is to think of things that I haven't really seen before. So for example, I know one of the prompts I did last month was to write a poem as if it were a voicemail you were leaving on someone's answering machine. And I was really excited about that prompt because I've never seen anyone do that. And I really think it's worthwhile to try writing in different styles. So, like, you know, colloquially, as if you were simply leaving a voicemail and trying to make it poetic. So I guess the shorter answer to that is with making prompts, I just try to do things that are different, that kind of force you to think in a different poetic lens than you usually do.
I think that's amazing. I love the prompt that was to leave, to write a poem as if you were leaving someone a voicemail. One of my favorite prompts was actually in a language that doesn't have the word love. And I love that so much. It was just like on another level. I think it's so smart. It was just such a juicy is really the only word to explain it. You posted it a month ago and people are still using it till now, and it's everywhere. I see it everywhere on my timeline. I think that's kind of the goal of it. And it's just so smart because you can remove the word love and use anything else, and it can be a lot of things.
It has been incredible seeing that poem and, you know, sort of prompt attached with it make the rounds, because I wrote that poem initially, I wasn't even thinking about making it into a prompt. It was just something I had to get out at the time, you know, for emotional reasons and all of that, you know, normal poety yeah. stuff. But it's been amazing to see people use it for, you know, breakup poems, but also love poems. And some people, like you said, have taken the word love and used something else, and, you know, used hope or, you know, some other word. I can't think of any of the other examples. But recently, so I believe someone did one. It was like to a mother or a family member of some kind. And I thought that was so cool, because when I envisioned this poem, I only ever saw it in this one way, you know, the way I had written it. And then getting this chance to see so many interpretations of it has been really, really worthwhile and fulfilling.
I think it's pretty cool you mentioned that you put out a prompt and it meant one thing to you, but it meant something else to every person who took it and wrote it. I think it happens a lot with music, and it's really wicked that, you know, a song will mean one thing to the artist, but something else to every person in the room. And I just think that's so magical.
It is incredible how art connects us, in the sense that not only can we all relate to certain pieces or works of art, but we can also all see it in a different way yet still feel connected.
It's absolutely mind-blowing. Which brings us to another topic. You did a creative workshop a couple weeks ago on your Instagram Live, and I loved it. It was so good, it was so rich, it was so impactful. I loved your teaching style. It's, you know, the workshop was through screen, but I really felt more understood and connected than I'd ever felt with any teacher that I've been in the room with. You have just such a way of delivery and just such a smart, untraditional technique to get, you know, your inspirational juices flowing. Is that something you want to do, teach?
I definitely, it's something that keeps returning to me. So when I got my bachelor's degree and a creative writing certificate, I got the bachelor's degree in English. And after I graduated, I still wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I graduated 2 years ago. So I decided to take some time off because I didn't want to jump into more schooling if that wasn't something that I really wanted, because like I said, I just wasn't really sure. So I've been taking some time off to really think about it. And more I realize that I love, you know, talking about writing with people, sharing poems and hearing other people's poems. I especially love the workshops, the workshop sort of environment. So whether that leads me to teaching, you know, professionally, if I go back to school, or if it just means that I eventually get to a point where I can host in-person workshops or more official, like Zoom sort of workshops, I would love that. I'm still, you know, tossing around a lot of ideas in my head as to where I want to go, but I have found a real love for conversing with people about writing and the craft and everything you can do with that.
That's wonderful. I do think teaching is a job that not everybody can do. It requires a certain amount of patience and, you know, creativity and just a lot of things. And I think you have a lot of those, because even though the workshop that you did was through the phone, it was on an Instagram Live, I felt reached in ways that I hadn't felt reached by the teachers that I had seen face-to-face before, which is an incredible thing for you. What would you say is one misconception about creativity that a lot of writers or just artists in general have?
This might be a controversial opinion, but I don't really believe in writer's block, which I know is kind of controversial, and I'll explain that. So when I say I don't believe in writer's block, I feel like writer's block kind of comes out of this idea that everything we're writing at a certain point doesn't sound good. We don't like it, it's bad, or it isn't doing what we want to do. So I feel like when we're writing, you just kind of have to get in the mindset where you're not afraid to write the bad things and you're comfortable with writing through the bad work. So when I hear people rather saying that they have writer's block, I always encourage them to write through it anyway, because if you write through all of the, you know, the things you perceive as being bad or not up to your usual standard, that's how you can really get back to the good stuff. And I always also, you know, recommend like reading other people's work, you know, immersing yourself in your old work and kind of reconnecting with your writing bones, per se. So I guess to sum it all up, I don't believe in writer's block. I think it's just something a kind of roadblock we put in our own way when we are not happy with the things we're producing.
Also, if you're experiencing writer's block, you can just go on Caitlin's Instagram and use her prompts because they're just so good. It's funny you should say that because, you know, come to think of it, I think maybe it's one of those things that we kind of, you know, use as an excuse for ourselves when we're not producing as much as we should be, or when we don't feel like we like what's coming out, so we're like, oh, I'm blocked, and then I'm just gonna drop it for, you know, God knows how long, which is, you know, not a good thing, because when you do stop writing for a little bit, you kind of lose touch with it.
I absolutely agree. I recently read, it's called A Poetry Handbook by Mary Oliver, and she recommends having a certain time of day and a certain space, if that's available to you, to like set so that you can write there in that space for that set amount of time every day, and it kind of trains your brain into feeling more creative and being more able to write. I know that isn't exactly possible for a lot of people with work schedules and, you know, various other life things, but it's a good goal to aspire towards, is at least, you know, writing every day and maybe having some sort of area where you do that.
Definitely. And I think it's a good habit to build, you know, to make writing become a habit, especially if you want to take it up as a career. Okay, so you're a social media manager at Half Mystic, which is a publishing house, for those of you who don't know. What is a social media manager? What do you do?
So up until recently, I was in charge of the Tumblr. So I would basically I would follow all of our contributors on there, and I would kind of reblog posts that were in line with our ideas and what we're trying to promote as a press, and, you know, as well as promoting our various books and our journals, submissions, etc. Recently, I actually moved to their Instagram page because unfortunately, Tumblr as a website isn't as popular as it once was. So we weren't really getting the kind of engagement that we were on our other, you know, other forms of social media. So I asked if I could move over to the Instagram because I'm much more familiar with that platform as far as marketing goes. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I basically do the same sort of thing on Instagram, although I'm not reblogging posts. I'm mainly just promoting the things we have going on.
That's great. I followed them a few weeks ago, and I love everything they're doing. All the books they're putting out seem very interesting to me. Which brings us to the topic of you and your books. You have a link in your Instagram that takes you to a website where we can buy your ebook called Cavity, and we can buy merch for your ebook, and we can look at all of your publications. You have quite a lot, I must say, but the most recent one is the one I just mentioned called Cavity. That's a poetry collection, and it is an ebook. Speak to me a little bit about that one.
So, in 2017, I went through a breakup, and it was during April, so National Poetry Month, so I was doing the challenge that I do every year, which was writing 30 poems for the 30 days in April. So when I was in the middle of this breakup, obviously that was all I ended up writing about for the rest of the month. So at the end of April, and you know, after about mid-May, because I still had a lot to say I was writing, I realized that I had all of these poems about the same thing. And I thought to myself, well, I'm still really early in my writing career. I don't really know, how much of my audience would be willing to, you know, purchase something from me, because there's, you know, some sort of, there's some difference between people that just follow you and people that will actually invest money in something that you're putting out. So I decided to make a physical handmade chapbook. I would staple all of the pages together myself, and I printed them at home with my printer. And by September of that year, so from April to September, I had this full chapbook out, and it was about 40 pages, which is pretty much the max you can have when you're stapling pages together if you want it to stay in a book format. I sold more copies than I definitely thought I would, and it was very reassuring to me that, you know, my audience was dedicated to supporting me in that way. Recently, last year, it was about a year ago actually, I took it out of physical print. I was moving across New York State, so I wasn't going to have access to internet or to my, you know, printing materials for a while. And with that, I mean, it had been 3 years since I'd released the chapbook. It didn't really reflect who I was as a writer now. So I still have it up as an ebook, and that book still means so much to me because it really documents that time where I felt so lost in this first ever, you know, breakup I'd ever gone through. And even now, I just feel very lucky. People still will reach out to me and talk about how Cavity has helped them with certain feelings they've been having. And it's just been really heartwarming for me and very encouraging with, you know, future projects, because I know that if people liked this 40-page book of poems that I wrote when I was 19, then hopefully they'll also like what I'm creating now at 22.
This mention of an audience brings us to my next point, where in this day and age, as a creator, you have social media, you have your Instagram, you have your Twitter, and you know exactly what your audience thinks immediately after you put something out. Do you think that the audience's response or the audience's liking has changed the way you write or altered the way you write, or at least altered what you post because you know that they like this kind of post better or this kind of post better?
That's a really good question. I would say that it hasn't changed the way I write, but it has changed the way I market it and the way I post on Instagram. So kind of with, you know, Instagram in particular, which I'm the social media site I'm most comfortable with. I find that certain posts of mine perform better, and it isn't because I'm changing my writing per se, it's just because of how much I'm sharing it or like what the visual is around it. So I don't think that when I sit down to write anything, anything from social media really influences me, unless I'm obviously writing an after poem or, you know, doing a prompt that I found on there. I think it's more just when I sit down to make a post, then is when I think, okay, which line that I wrote from this long piece will probably perform best and what kind of drawing should I do with it, you know, etc.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think social media has done a really good job at kind of providing a space for artists and creators to kind of put their work out. It's made it a lot easier than it was, per se, 10 or 20 years ago. But it's also made it a lot easier for your work to get plagiarized and stolen. I know you're very passionate about crediting authors and crediting artists that have made the work if you've been inspired by them. I saw you put on your story a couple weeks ago explaining what it means to be plagiarized and why it's not okay and why you need to credit the authors and the artists that you are inspired or that you are quoting. When was the first time you were plagiarized and how often does it happen?
I've been plagiarized either, you know, it's mainly just been light plagiarism. I've never had anyone copy an entire piece and say, this is mine. Mm-hmm. But I've had certain lines or certain ideas, you know, lifted. And that really only happened, you know, when I started to gain more followers on Instagram. I never seemed to have that problem. I started actually out on Tumblr and on Twitter. I was more active with the writing communities there. And then I kind of moved to Instagram. And it's with Instagram that I've had those sort of problems. And usually when you reach out to people and you either, you know, message them or comment and, you know, bring up the similarities between your pieces, usually people are cool and they'll either credit you for the lines or they'll take down the piece. But sometimes you have people that insist that they came up with the idea, even though you posted yours first and they follow you and, you know, that whole sort of problem there.
Absolutely. I can't even imagine how stressful that must be to have someone copy your work and then refuse to give you credit or refuse to take it down. I can't even begin to thank you enough for being on my show. I am such a big fan of you. Thank you so much for just sitting down and chatting for me. I will be here and I will continue to follow you and I will be here when all of this is over. When you put another book out, I will be the first person on the pre-order list. Okay, before you go, I just want you to shout out and send some love to 3 authors, poets, musicians, creatives, artists, just whatever, who you think deserve more recognition.
Wow. Okay, let me think about this for a second. This is a good, another good question.
Thank you so much.
Let's see. You know what? I recently connected with, I have a group message with a bunch of poets that are really wonderful and they're active on the Instagram community, and I'm going to shout all of them out. So that'll be, I'll tell you what their @s are.
Okay,
so they're all on Instagram. That'll be @ Clara McGowan. That's CLARAMCGOWAN. Kayla's Poems, spelled like you would think it would be, KAYLA's Poems. Ari Kofer, her @ is A.B.Kofer.
Mm-hmm.
And Kofer is spelled COFER. And Nina W. Poems, and that is spelled exactly like you'd think it would. Like I said, I've recently begun talking to all of these wonderful ladies more often, and they all deserve, you know, all the reads, all the clicks.
It's funny you should mention them, because I follow all of them, and you are right. They are very, very, very talented and lovely women who deserve all the reads. And they're using their platforms for so much more than just writing. They're very politically vocal. Which I love about the writing community is that it is very politically outspoken. which, you know, I think is the basis of literature. You write when you are feeling a strong emotion, and a lot of the time it is rage, because we live in a world where terrible, terrible things happen. And, you know, a lot of them, if not all of them, are because of politics, are because of spiteful things that our world leaders do in the name of peace. And I admire anyone who is not afraid to speak their mind. Thank you again so much for being on my show and for sitting down and having this wonderful chat with me. I cannot wait until your new work comes out. I'm beyond excited for whatever you have in store.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so excited about the thing I'm working on and can't wait to show it, have it out in the world, hopefully soon.
I cannot wait. That was Caitlin Conlon on I Never Shut Up Anyway. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week.